Well, happy Father's Day, everyone. My name is Tanner Griffith. If you do not know me, I'm one of our pastors here at Vintage Church. We are glad that you have joined us on this Father's Day. And like Jared mentioned, yes, we're reading about Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, who was a prostitute. You know, just the perfect Father's Day message. If you're new with us at Vintage Church, we do series through the New and Old Testaments, and this is one of our Old Testament series that's called 10, and we're looking at 10 everyday people. These are normal, everyday people. These are not like heroes, but they have faith. And we're looking at what God does through normal, everyday humans that put their faith in God. And today, we are looking at Rahab's life. So if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn to Joshua 2. We are going to be in Joshua 2. If you do not have a Bible, we want to let you know we would love for you to have a Bible, and we have Bibles out on our info table. We would love to give one to you if you do not own one. Please pick one up. In Joshua today, we're going to see the major theme of this morning, if you want to just know it from the beginning, is that Rahab was accepted. Every single one of us in our lives needs to know that we're accepted. We're going to see in this passage that God uses these two spies. They actually end up at this prostitute's house, and none of it's on accident. None of it. He had set his eyes on this woman. And I think there's a lot of relevance for all the dads in this room, for all the moms in this room, for all the singles in this room, for all the students in this room, no matter who you are, you need to know this reality, the reality that Rahab shows us. Our series as a church has been looking at how we advance the kingdom of God, how we advance the gospel in our lives. And here's the truth that we're going to see that's connected to advancing the gospel. Those that know that they are accepted, they're going to tell people, I'm accepted by God, and you can be too. Like, if you don't know you're accepted, to be honest, you'll probably just not tell anybody about it. It's not exciting. It's your life doesn't, you're floating. You don't really know, and you're not grounded in this reality of the God who is in heaven and on earth, that he has accepted you and made you his. We're going to see that in Rahab's life. There's a lot of context I want to get to. We're in the Old Testament. Not everyone knows, you know, the Old Testament. It's the biggest chunk of your Bible. Like, the Old Testament makes up the majority of your Bible. And a lot of us, to be honest, we're like, that Old Testament stuff, that's confusing. I don't really spend too much time with it. So what I want to do is I want to look at the context of where does this story fall? Like, how did we get here? So before I do that, let me pray for us, and then we'll dig into the text here. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would help people see in a clear way, in a way that's not, in a miracle way, that's not defiled by our own fathers, but that would help us see that you, God, are our Father. And you have accepted us. You delight in us. That you smile upon us just because you love and you are love. God, we need to know, every single one of us in this room needs to know at the core of who we are, that before we do anything, before we have anything, before we've lost everything, before we're popular, whatever it is, God, you first loved us and accepted us. God, would you help us in this passage see that acceptance that came to Rahab? God, help us see her faith. And would you just meet us here today? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this series started with Abraham. I want us to go back to Abraham. Abraham was chosen by God, and he was told, hey, through your offspring, I'm going to make you like this many nations, and through your offspring, I'm going to bless every family on this planet. I'm going to make you a blessing to all these nations, to all these peoples. That was basically the start of the people of Israel. God chooses this guy, Abraham. And since Abraham, we've been watching this story happen. Abraham has this son named Isaac. Isaac's the promised one from God. And Isaac then has a son named Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, and one of Jacob's sons is Joseph, and that's who we heard preached about yesterday. So this family, Abraham's family, just keeps expanding. Joseph is one of Jacob's sons, and you heard the story last week. Joseph sold into slavery. I mean, it's amazing. His story is amazing. It's horrifying. His brothers don't like him. They sell him into slavery. Through that, the traitors that have bought him, bring him down into Egypt. They sell him to a guy named Potiphar. And through a series of crazy God events, Joseph actually ends up second in command of the greatest nation on the earth. And that was not America. That was not the United States of America. That was Egypt, okay? This is the greatest nation on earth. It's Egypt. You know, this African nation is the powerhouse, and it's still, you can still see, go to Giza, see the pyramids. It's amazing what this nation did. They did it in some pretty horrible ways, kind of like some of our history, actually. Because when Joseph gets down there, he brings his family down through famine. They all stay there, and this actually, the nation keeps on growing and growing, and some people pass away, and all of a sudden, Israel's there, and there's a new Pharaoh, and he doesn't remember Joseph or anything about them, so he enslaves this people. This whole nation is enslaved, and for 400 years, they stay in slavery. Then enters the story about Moses. Some of you might know this, you know, story, the story of Moses, Prince of Egypt, if you've seen that, or Ten Commandments, you know, maybe you've seen some of these movies if you don't know the Bible story. But Moses is called by God to also get up into Pharaoh's house. He's actually part of Pharaoh's family. But then all of a sudden, Moses kills a guy that he's, an Egyptian that he sees beating one of the Hebrew slaves. And he goes in the desert. God calls him back and says, go lead my people out of Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. So are you kind of following me? There's a lot of people. God's using this story. He's going to bless this people. But it's amazing. Just like what Jared preached yesterday, it is a story of suffering. I mean, it is a sad story. They're enslaved 400 years. Moses comes down and says, let my people go. And through 10 plagues, they come upon the house of Egypt. Finally, Pharaoh lets them go. And through just a miraculous exodus, God leads his people across dry land, through the Red Sea, and he saves them. He redeems them. And now they're to go to this land that he promised Abraham. He told Abraham, I'm going to make you this nation. I'm going to give you this land, this promised land. So they're on their way back. And right before they get to the promised land, Moses says, I'm going to send out 12 spies. We're going to check out this land. And they go into the land. And you know what they see? They see awesome grapes that they're like, we can make some good wine out of this. Okay, that's one thing that they see. They say it's a land flowing with milk and honey. You guys like dairy products? You know, dairy products are great. Honey is pretty awesome too. This land's full of that, but you know what else they have? Fortified cities, and all their dudes are like giants. And they get scared. They see this incredible land, it's an incredibly prosperous place, but they get scared. And they decide not to go into the promised land. And God comes and says, you're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years. Again, this story is of the people of Israel. It's just amazing. It's a story of God leading his people. And for 40 years, they're in the desert. God actually is feeding them himself with this stuff called manna. So they've been eating manna in the wilderness for 40 years. And that's what brings us to this point. Okay, so are you with me? They're just about to come into the promised land. Actually, they kind of set their first feet in the promised land. And there's this huge fortified city, Jericho. Jericho is in their path. And now Joshua sends two spies out. And he sends two spies out to Rahab's house. This is what we see in verse 1. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab. And they lodged there. So they get to Rahab. This brings us to Rahab. The people of God are just entering the promised land. Joshua sends two spies out and they go to Rahab's house. So what do we know about Rahab? From this reading, we know a few things. One, she was a prostitute. That's like the first thing it tells us. She's a prostitute. Two, one thing we know, not from this passage, I'm going to put it in second because I want this to be right on top of the prostitute. So we actually do know in Matthew, she's one of four women listed. She is in the lineage of Jesus. She's going to become a major part of the Jesus story. We know that God's going to allow her to be part of his story in a major way. That's amazing. Third thing we know from this passage is she has a residence. She has a house. Some rabbis think that this place could have been very large. And on one side, there was probably a brothel. And on the other side, there probably was an inn, a place to stay. So it wouldn't be abnormal for just two guys to show up at this place. It might have been one of the places to go. If you're outside of the city, you could go there to get sleep, or you can go there to get more than sleep. Like you can, you know, this was the place to go. If you're new to the area, this is where you went. But we just know, at least in the story, she has a residence, and this is where the two spies come out. Fourth thing. She's really cunning. We see she's smart. And then the fifth thing we see in this whole passage is she has faith. We get to see her faith. These are things in the passage that we see from Rahab, this lady that we know sells her body for her business. This lady is going to be one of the women that we know about, that her body was used to birth the Messiah. What an amazing story. This story is about grace, and it's a grace that blows our minds. Why would these two spies, Why would God send these men to this place? Of all the people that God would show his love to, why the house of Rahab? Grace is why. God's love, his unmerited favor, is the story of this passage. Is this the person that you would say, I want to be part of my story? For God, it's yes. And that should give every single one of us in this room hope. His grace, the same grace that's offered to Rahab, is offered to us. I want to focus on two things. I mentioned that she's cunning, and one reason I want to see that is this just a part of the story here. I want to focus on, okay, let's see how she is. She's cunning, and then let's see her faith. But finally, I want us to end on, like, let's look at Jesus in this passage. So in verses 4 and 5, read this with me. It says, but the woman, this is Rahab, had taken two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they're from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. This woman is really cunning. These king's men show up at her house. The king's been told there's two men from the men of Israel, and they're here. They went to Rahab's place. So he sends his men to Rahab's house, and they're like, bring out those men. They came to your place. Imagine with me for a second if she would have said, hey, nope, they're not here. What would have happened? They would have barged in that place. They would have smacked the doors down. They go, our guy saw these two men of Israel come in your place. You know, the best lies have a lot of truth in them. And that's what you get to see here. She's cunning. The first thing she says to them is true. What you said is true. It's right. She doesn't argue. She doesn't say, no, like, they're not here to save these. She's actually very just smart. True, they came in here. And I love how she then even tries to act like she doesn't know who they are. She is like, I didn't know where they're from. You're going to see that that's totally false in her faith, in her confessing. I didn't even know where they're from. And then, very smartly, they left at dark. So she's not saying, hey, they didn't come through the doors, but what she's kind of saying is, are you sure that it got dark? Are you sure they left here? At dark, they left. They went through the gates. You should try to go get them now. So she's on their side. You see how smart this is? I mean, this is like manipulation 101. If you want to learn about manipulation, read about Rahab. Thank goodness. And some of you are really good at manipulation too, honestly. A lot of us are. I mean, I feel like, you know, I know how to get my way a lot of times. Augustine said of this passage, Rahab and Hebrews 11 is commended. And he just said, Rahab's not commended for her lie. She's commended for her faith. Right now, though, I do think it's important to know she was committing an act of treason. She was breaking the law. I just want you to know, I think you should break unjust laws. if we're in a season right now that I need to be like, this is not political. This is just right and wrong. When there's unjust laws, there's a higher lawgiver than our government. We've got to obey the supreme lawgiver. There are families being ripped apart at our border, and that's just wrong. I'm not making an immigration stance. I'm not saying we should let every family in. And I'm not saying, also, don't hear me say, we should put every family out. But I'll tell you this, we should not rip families apart. That it's just evil. It's think of your children. Just please think of your children, think of your grandchildren, and think of them in one of those cages that you can see. I mean, it's just, it's wrong. And this is not, to be honest, we know this has been happening for a while. So again, I'm not talking about a party or a president. This has been happening for a while and it's coming to light. I just think, to be honest, unjust laws are unjust. And we need to, this again, this is not political. I don't know the immigration debate in and out. But we are not called to obey unjust laws. And weirdly, you get to see that all over the Old Testament. The Hebrew midwives do it. She does it. Daniel does it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they disobey. To be honest, every time you preach the gospel in the New Testament, you're breaking a law. And thank God they broke the law. This needs to be said at this point. She is committing treason. This is not a light offense. The king has sent her men to her. She is breaking the law. And what would have happened if she would be found out? She would have been killed. This is an act of faith. I mean, it's weird to say, and again, she's not commended for the lie, but she is acting out of some sort of faith here that the God of Israel is more powerful than the king of Jericho. That's important for all of us to hear. We are part of a kingdom, and it's not a kingdom of earth, it's the kingdom of God. God is king. We are his subjects. And it's amazing to see what's going to play out here. We're not just his subjects. We're his sons and daughters. That is an amazing reality. In verses 9 through 11, you get to see, so the first we get to see her deception. Now we're going to see her confession. In verses 9 and 11, let's look at this. We can see her faith. She says, as after she sent the men away, she comes to the spies and she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. What a confession. It is a beautiful confession. One thing that's striking about this confession is the name she uses for God. She uses in the Hebrew, Yahweh, the Lord. She knows the personal name of God. The time that this name, God gave his name before Rahab was just years before to Moses. Moses is the first person who knows the name of God, which is Yahweh. Moses said, tell me who's, you know, they're going to ask me who is sending me to tell you to let the people go. Do y'all remember this? He's at the burning bush and God says, tell them I am that I am. That's Yahweh. That's translated in your Bibles. It's an uppercase. If you have the ESV, Lord. Every time you see the uppercase Lord, in that, at least in the ESV, That's God's special name, and that's what's all over this passage. When Moses told Pharaoh, Yahweh, God, the I am, the great I am sent me, what we know from that is the word spread. It's awesome. In God releasing the people, his people from slavery, we're seeing that all the nations on earth are knowing the personal name of God. How awesome is that? And she knows it. She knows God's personal name. She is calling God by his name. She's not just not saying God general, the generic God of this universe. She's saying the God of Moses, the God that redeemed the people from Israel. And that's what she's saying. The story is amazing. We've heard how you guys walked across dry land. We heard how these nations were just destroyed before you because God went with you. You don't have a military. You have a people. You have like pitchforks. And somehow, God is doing his thing. In this city of Jericho, do you know the battle plan that God gives for Jericho? It's like, get your choir out. You know, march. It's, and I'll be honest, it's good for your souls to still act like God recommends long walks and loud music. I'm telling you, God still works in people's souls on long walks and with loud shouting and praising. He tears down battles through those long walks. He has the weirdest plans here. That they are coming in this way that's so different. It's not this great battle. It is this great God that is with them, and she knows his greatness. And not just his greatness, she knows his name. That's important. God is the named God, the personal God. He is our God. We are his people. And what she's going to find here is acceptance. She is going to find complete acceptance right after this verse in verses 12 and on all the way to 21. She says, will you please, the kindness I show you, will you be kind to me? And God has said yes. They tell her, put this red crimson cord on your window. And when we come, God's going to save you and your household. Get as many people in this house. And it's like the ark. Get as many people in this place. In this place, God will save this people. She finds that she has been accepted. It's interesting, when I was reading a lot of commentaries, I always like to read very old commentaries. And a lot of the early church fathers, it's very interesting when they're writing on this story, instead of using Joshua's name, they just even just insert Jesus' name. And the reason is in the Hebrew, the name Joshua is Yeshua. You know what Jesus's Hebrew name is? Yeshua. You see the similarities? They're exactly the same name. These commentators would say Jesus sent two spies to Rahab's house. The one who saves. The name, Joshua's name, Jesus' name is the one who saves. Jesus is so easy to see in this passage. The story of God coming to a prostitute is not a new one. Think about Hosea. I'm going to show the world what my relationship looks like with my people. Go marry that prostitute. When Jesus shows up, the religious people are so frustrated. He hangs out with prostitutes and sinners. The story of the prostitute is our story. We have left our first love. God is the one who first loved us. And our story is one of not accepting and going on our own ways and saying, God, I trust money more than you. God, I trust my friends more than you. God, I trust myself more than I trust you. and we have loved ourselves, loved money, we have loved whatever it is in our lives, and we have prostituted our hearts out. But you know who Jesus comes to? You know who Jesus sends, who Joshua sends his spies to? The prostitute's house. She is going to find this. She is accepted before changing her job or her lifestyle. She's going to find this. She is accepted before hiding the spies. She is accepted before lying. She is accepted before tying the crimson cord on her window. She was accepted before she was born. In fact, her story is the story of Abraham. It might not even be appropriate to say she was accepted. She was chosen. She was chosen by God to receive his grace. Today, you need to know that you are accepted by God before you change your lifestyle, before you change a job, before anything you can do, good or bad. The ultimate reality of our lives that Jesus came to tell us about is that we are his. We are his. Repentance is strangely saying, you know what? I didn't believe I was his. Let me repent and know that I'm his. His work has been done. His grace is open to every single one of us the same way it is open to Rahab. She has found that she is completely accepted in a job in a field that was completely not accepted, where she was just used, her body was used, she was on the sides and the marginalized, and you wouldn't know what God was going to do is bring her into his family. Literally, he was going to be born from her body. What a reversal of a story. Her body was used, thrown away, abused, and God comes to her and says, no more. You are mine. What a beautiful picture. What an incredible story. What boldness of this woman. What obedience we get to see where she obeys God over the king of Jericho. Oh, that we would be like her in those ways. She is commended in Hebrews 11. She is commended. Have faith like her faith. She is commended to us, and oh, that we would. Jesus, there is a story that like just struck me this week that I feel like we could see Jesus maybe interacting with Rahab, and it's from Luke 7. I didn't put it on the screen because, to be honest, I want you to listen. I want you to work on your listening skills here, not just read with me. So I want you to, in your mind's eye, just picture Rahab. Luke 7, 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flax of ointment, standing behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair from her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering him said, Simon, I have something to say to you. He answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. This is our story. The one who is forgiven little loves a little. Oh, that we would be like this woman. Every service we come and we come to a time of confession, and it's not to feel bad about ourselves. It's so that it causes us to go to his feet and wipe his feet with our tears, to anoint him with oil, to know that we are not loved a little, we are completely accepted. His steadfast love is on us. It will never leave us. It endures forever and ever. Rahab is the story of a woman that found acceptance, acceptance in the family of God. And then God would use her to advance his kingdom. Oh, that we would be like Rahab, that we would know that we are accepted, and that upon finding this acceptance, we just want other people to know this is yours too. Our God has loved you with this same love. What does God want from you today? I believe it's to sit in front of him and to ask him, God, what do you think I need? And for some of you in this room, it's exactly what Rahab needed, which was complete to find the God that has completely accepted them apart from anything they've done, anything they will do. I would beg you, in this time that we're about to respond, would you put yourself in front of Jesus Christ and ask him, what do I need? And I think he'll give himself to you, and you'll find everything that you need. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I am so glad that you are the friend of sinners, that you told us that you didn't come for the healthy, you came for those who are sick. God, would you, in this time, reveal the places in our lives that you want to work and move and restore. God, so many in this room are hurting. So many in this room have just some struggles going on in their life that feel completely overwhelming. God, would you come to them in this time and minister them? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.